Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts, Salsa,
Matt,
and Jenna.
It's going to be one of those episodes.
Yeah. It's been one of those weeks so far.
Oh, yep. My God.
Hey, everybody, what you been up to?
Hey, how's your voice doing?
Might
there,
it be the Renaissance Festival?
What? The season is upon us.
It just might be that.
It might be that. You know what? It'll probably take the edge off.
Booze?
We can only hope.
Cocaine?
Dear God, possibly that. But
well, heroin?
I mean, we haven't tried it yet.
Give me two more weekends and I'll try anything.
Right? Oh, my God.
Yeah, no shit. Especially if they were anything like that one.
We'll talk about that.
Whoa.
What are we drinking?
We are drinking the ever so creatively named Pim's Cup.
Yay!
Okay.
It's got Pim's in it. And it's in a cup.
Wow. How was
I was thinking maybe this was like a football tournament I wasn't aware of.
No. That's what the thing is called.
All right.
It's got a shot of Pim's, half a shot of Cointreau, half a shot of lime juice. It's supposed to have cucumber garnish, but fuck that.
Yeah.
Also, ginger ale.
And well, the ginger ale will be good for our throats.
There's
right?
that. Yep.
All right, let's do this. Acceptable.
Yeah, I'll take it. It's not like, you know.
Yeah, it's not the one that I would order at a bar, but it is one I would accept from a stranger.
I was going to say I would happily accept it. Well, to be fair, you'd accept anything from a stranger at a bar.
Yeah, I would.
I feel like if anybody ordered this at a bar, they are pretty strange.
They would probably get an arched eyebrow from the bartender.
Although, if it had cucumber in it, I could see, you know, like
and mint.
A little more opening.
Ooh, I can see how mint would work with this.
Mint would really work with this. Or, honest to God, ginger ale.
Yeah.
Like your homemade
yeah,
stuff.
Like,
that would be fucking
that would accent this nicely. Because then you could even up the amount of Pim's.
Because
those two flavors
day?
Would be better. It is always accent day.
Accent day.
Somewhere deep in my heart, it is always accent day.
Yeah. So Fest happened, y'all.
Yeah,
you know, what?
That fucking happened.
It came in like a wrecking ball.
Yes, it did.
Oh, my God. I was listening to the Sarah Blackburn version where it's all pretty and lovely. Kind of like when Scully does it, like the acoustic wrecking ball.
Yep.
Fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
Both versions.
How was everyone's weekend?
I had a fucking blasty blast.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you about my Saturday. So, dear listeners, it rained.
It was the best.
Rained.
I had so much fun on Saturday.
So here's what I did. I started my day off by dancing in the rain.
Like you do.
Because Gypsy. Then I drummed in a building because Feast of Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Then I danced in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Then I drummed in a building.
I'm sensing a pattern.
Then I danced in the rain. Guess what I did after that?
Hopefully died in a fire.
No. No, Fun Nazi shortened their set that day. I drummed in a building.
Now I see the pattern.
Oh, yeah.
Took me a couple extra
took me
ones.
On an emotional roller coaster there.
Right? But there is absolutely nothing better than dancing in the rain, especially when it's downpouring and people are hiding in the buildings and you have the entire fucking street to yourself. And
what about sex?
This is my stage.
Sex in the rain when it's downpouring? Also good.
Depends on the individual with which you are having sex.
What about...
I mean, that's always the case, I suppose. Yeah. But,
I mean, that's just... Yeah.
But,
You implied good sex.
Usually when people say,
it.
What about sex? They usually mean, like...
Good sex. Yeah.
Because it would really suck to be like, well, what about really sucky sex?
And you'd be like, well, I guess that
kind of really doesn't help my point at all.
If you were one of those
people... I don't worry
about
helping your point, though, Salsa.
Yeah, no, if you were one of those people for whom doing things in the rain is not a big deal out at Fest, rain days are some of the most fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's, as we were, I was talking to some of the new folks, I don't know if I ended up catching you guys into having this conversation, but I had it with a few of the other folks that we hang out with was, like, even just Friday night, I realized looking around, I'm like, in the campground and at the Blit and stuff, I was like, I am only recognizing about a third of the faces here. And it's because there's just been a decade or more of new people coming in that I've never really met.
Decade.
Well, shut up. But that I've just not had a chance to meet because they do a different thing than me.
Sure.
You know, and I was like, okay, like before I become someone that doesn't know anyone out here, it's time to start introducing myself around to like the new folks and asking what they're doing, what they're hoping to do. And I lucked out that like the new Groundlings group is camping like right next to me.
Oh my god, yes.
And
those
so
kids are fucking amazing.
Got a chance to start talking to them, and the dude who is doing like Bally and Hat Pass for Toil and Tumble. And so I got to talk to them like Friday night before having done anything ever. And they're like, all right, well, if I can find you guys during the day, I'll check in. Who knows out here? And so otherwise, you know, hopefully I'll bump into you Saturday night and we can talk. And I did manage to bump into a few of them. And I had a really good time just being like, yeah, we thought we were going to do this. And then all of a sudden I was like, what? I'm like, okay, yeah, this is the fest experience. Like,
yeah.
Cool. But like they seemed excited, seemed happy with how things were going. I was like, neat. So I'm looking forward to watching that story over the course of the season. It's like my own little episodic reality show now. But I love the, as I was telling these new folks, like rain day crowds are some of my favorite, because if you're here and it's raining, you really want to be here,
right?
And
either that or you had tickets and that's the only day you got off.
It could be that too. Yeah, well, for like for instance, all the free food we got because there was that like party for like 200 booked for that day, and then 15 showed up. And so Trampy's like, there are more hot dogs than you've ever seen in your life right over there if you want to eat some. And I was like, I will have four. And did. And made the mistake of eating the final one while watching Salsa perform.
Oh, God.
Like,
oh, God.
Having a real hard time of being like, but this is free. It's free food. I'm not going to not eat the free food. I'm going to really chew for a long, long time, though.
did you choke on the footlong while Salsa swallowed?
Sigh. Anyway.
He did get pretty close to hurling. Yes.
I still, your show is great, but I fucking hate what you do. Like, it's troubling to me.
I had a lot of positive feedback on it.
It was really fun to watch. That's another thing I look forward to watching it evolve.
I mean,
wait, a dig before we actually get honest. Mm. I took what Matt said, you know, I don't like what you do, but you do it really well, kind of a thing.
It's like German food in Germany.
Yeah, like German food in Germany. Or really good Christian rock.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, clearly you're adept.
Yeah, but you are beyond capable, but...
You're making great chicken, but I like beef.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, a lot of positive feedback on that. It was... obviously, it was the first time I'd ever performed that in front of a crowd. So instantly there was like, okay, that didn't work. This needs to be changed. This needs to be tweaked. This needs to be lengthened. That's a good line I should put in there. Things like that. But the other thing is, you know, nobody, with the exception of people that know me or listen to this podcast, nobody knew that I was going to be there. Mm. Like, the general public doesn't know that there's a Swords follower there.
Right.
Yeah.
That's just not...
Well, because, like, you and Ron Dean are in the same boat. It's like, it's just... You, if you happen to walk by while you're there, great. But there's not, like, a huge thing you're going to know to show up at
exactly.
3
But, I mean, we don't have the history behind us. You know, we're not Puke and Snot or Danger Committee or Fondazzi or somebody who's been out there for a decade where you go, it's those people. You know, and it's not somebody who, like, the Joust or something or Twig... is all over the promotion material.
Right.
So just nobody knows I'm there.
Mm.
And so until the word gets out, everybody is surprised to see that, holy shit, there's a Swords follower here.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're busking uphill.
Exactly. Very much so. That having been said, I went uphill very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even from day one to day two, it was like, okay, I had a lot more understanding of how the, you know, everything was going to work and just kind of getting the crowd figured out and stuff like that. But yeah, it was good. I staked out a couple spots that are going to be really good for me, in front of Legend Stage, as Puke and Snot Shows gets out. So I can kind of grab their crowd.
Yeah, always nice to scoop up someone else.
Exactly. And, on the green in front of Bad Banner, right there, like you said, where the Great Grandini is also performing. So the two of us can kind of work off each other and send crowds
because that's great,
towards
like
each other. Yeah.
10-in-1
yeah.
show acts
exactly,
that deserve to be seen next to each other. We're
right.
Like, yeah. I'd love to see that like over the years evolve into like you two splitting a stage and alternating with super carny stuff, and then maybe put like Oops or someone on there. So it's just Blockheads mm-hmm. and Sword Swallowers and Escape Artists. Like,
that would be a lot
really
of fun.
Cool. You know, just be like, this is old school.
I honestly, if the festival wants to put together a 10-in-1,
Tents? Oh, that'd be amazing.
Wouldn't that be just
the coolest
shit? I
would love that
shit,
yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so that's what I've been doing. The first day, like you said, it was raining, and that was definitely detrimental to me. I've decided I'm not going to do any rain shows. I'll still, you know, when I'm not performing on you know, doing the sword swallowing, I'll still run out and get dirty and play.
Yeah, because you can still just do street that exactly. is far less detrimental to your
health. But I'm not going to do the sword stuff, because even at the end of Saturday, I noticed little flecks of rust starting to on my sword.
Yeah.
Because so, just the inside of the case got wet and everything like that. It was, and even though I had oiled it, it was just, you know, everything was wet. So I'm probably not going to do any of the sword swallowing on rain days, unless I can figure something out.
Mm-hmm.
But Sunday, yeah, no rain on Sunday, and so I got out and I hit the street. I was starting to feel pretty raw after my 3 o'clock, so I decided to cut my last show of the day just because it was opening weekend and I wasn't yet used to that level of
Salsa, you know. Really has the best excuse out of all of us for having a sore throat.
That's true, yeah.
Like, yeah.
I actually, no, this is the most bizarre thing. I have two sore throats. One in my trachea and one in my esophagus.
Oh my God. Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, it's fucking gross.
It is truly bizarre.
But I did see, for those of you that will be coming out at some point this year, and I know you've mentioned it, but you do have a Facebook set up for your act. Mm-hmm. And that I saw you posted the schedule like you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're on your way out there, or you are out there and you can't remember, you can get on Facebook and see where to see.
It's Casimir the Hungry.
Yep. Find out where to see Salsa.
Show times are 11 in front of Legend, 11:30 in front of Bad Manor, 3 o'clock in front of Bad Manor, and 5:30 in front of Legend. All show times are loose approximations. They are not set in stone.
Yeah, because it is still full on street.
Exactly. So. It's you know, it's busking. It's you go with the ebb and flow of the crowd. If Rondini has the same contract I do, you know, so he starts whenever he feels like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whenever there's money to be made because the pitch looks decent.
Exactly.
Step out on it and go.
If there's nobody standing there, well, you wait 5 minutes and see if a crowd walks by, and then you grab them. So all of those are approximations, but I will be out there and doing things.
Nice. Cool. We have our first couple of. I'm going to start claiming them as Wise Fools super fans because they're actually Nick and Molly super fans, which makes much more sense.
Well, yeah. Because
had a lot longer to be built up out there.
That checks out.
Because Wise Fools is only our second year, but like, Nick and Molly have been out there for a while. And or Beefcake and Olive out there.
You can co-opt them.
And but yeah, so like they came to like at least three shows, I think, this weekend.
Wow.
And they do the thing that you always want for an improv audience, which is walk in and sit in the front so other people feel comfortable walking in and sitting in the front.
Yeah.
And then always shout a suggestion, but not like, look at how funny my suggestion is, but just shout a suggestion so that people know to participate. And it's just like, oh, this is awesome. So like in a show with a light audience, people feel more comfortable talking. And in a show with a big audience, then there's just more options.
Yeah.
So that was really fun. I don't remember their names. Nick and Molly kind of knew them. And because they'd just been apparently coming out for years.
You're a horrible person, Matt.
Yeah. I don't think I actually spoke to either one.
Yeah.
But
this is not new information.
It was just like, oh, hey, there's whoever and whoever, like, you know, they come watch their stuff. So that was really cool. So that made things fun. Because we had, as you'd imagine, some difficulty getting people to sit down in pre-soaked benches for, like, our second show on Saturday. But we did manage to get people that were willing to just kind of stand and watch. And it was like, I'll take it. That's fine. You know?
Idea. Rain towels for your shows, like just like rags or, you know, something.
What I really need to do is just go steal a bunch of garbage bags from under a trash bin.
Well, I mean, just wrap a bench. You could do that too. But there's what nothing you can says do is class find, like a rain towel.
What you can do is find an audience that isn't such a pussy.
There's also that.
Although one giant collective pussy or several different pussies?
Because if it's an actual towel and we put it on the thing they're going to sit in, we could technically call it a stool softener, which also makes me happy.
Oh my God, that's awful.
You are the actual worst.
I approve wholeheartedly. Like, that is horrid.
That's a fucking Bob joke.
Oh my God. Oh my God, do it.
I just tried to market that's grandpa joke. Yeah, I just tried to market us as having pre-soaked seating for their convenience.
Oh,
but,
nice.
But no, all of our shows
on the spin.
We had very kind audiences. Like I said, with the rain, it's a little tough. So we'd have people that would like walk by, stop and watch for a while. And then some just kind of eventually stood there till the end. They always stand at the back, so it's not like you really make any money off of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, we're young enough that it's just important to get the flight time and get better at what we're doing. But we had really fun sets, and people that would occasionally throughout the day bump into one of us and say, hey, I saw your first show today.
That's one of the reasons a lot of the really big acts will two or three times throughout stop the show and say, all of you come sit down.
Yep. And that's if I've seen Eric do it a couple times, if there's enough people at the back. Like when a pub crawl lets out partway through our show, we might acknowledge that and say, hey, you know, there's no need to keep walking. You've already got your beer. Sit down.
Whereas Tortugas have that written in. At this point, I say, hey, all of you been standing in the back, come sit down.
But yeah, we had a great time. And we unfortunately didn't get to do our wine show performances because they didn't sell any tickets to the wine show. So
yeah, I know.
That was the drag, because we had this weird long gap then of like, oh, it's like I should have a 1:30 show, about a 2:50 show, and then a 5 o'clock show.
Well, because we have the 12:30, then we generally, like, because we're done at 1, so grab a little lunch and then wine show. Yeah. And then we have our 3:30, so...
Yeah, and so it's just like, okay, cool, I've got this extra time, and it's, so that just became more walking around on street being silly, but I was really like, it's good to get back in the rhythm of performing with this group, because it is different, we just got, you know, one improv group to another, you have to kind of adjust to people's dynamics and kind of, you learn what you can assume they might do.
Oh, right, that guy's gonna do that thing.
They're more likely to do a big crazy character, they're more likely to do something very physical, like, you know, stuff like that, so it's just, it's good to get the flight time in, but we had good sets, like, it went well, because it's, all the folks I'm lucky enough to work with in that are very talented, so it went well, it was fun, and, you know, we'll pick up more slots of things as we go.
Yeah.
So,
How was Feast for you, Salsa?
The very first Feast
I didn't get to see.
Yeah, it was. It was quick. When I had talked to Jim earlier, he said about 5, 6, 7 minutes. So I tried to keep it really short.
Sure.
You know, I swallowed arrows and a sword, and then I was out. And I went and talked to him later, and, you know, was like, is that cool? Is that what you were looking for? And he was like, you can probably get one more in there.
All right, you know, so you got space to grow that.
Exactly. So, you know, so I was like, cool, just, you know, trying to figure out where I'm at.
You're way nicer to him than Sigourney is.
Yeah, well, I mean...
He's like, can you guys do 12 minutes? Like, 25 minutes later, we're running out the door.
Well, and that's the thing is, I know a lot of that shit goes long, and I've been on stage for enough years to know that times are important, and so I try to stick to that.
And that's running too short is a huge problem. Running too long can be
right. But I mean, that's the thing is, I've spent the last 13 years on a stage. I'm suddenly like on the street, on my own, like making my own schedule. I felt so weird. Like the first, especially the first day, but really the whole weekend. Because the first day, for the first 3 hours, I walked around going, I feel like I should be here somewhere. I should be somewhere. Should I be somewhere?
Well, so, what did you do this last weekend that you haven't been able to do in ages? Did you get to see something or see somebody?
Leave the stage.
Specifically, like stuff you got to do, like, or places you went.
I talked to people. Mm-hmm. Wait,
you had patron interactions?
I interacted.
Well, you know what? Sure, she wasn't talking to friends.
No, just you.
I get it.
Just you. No, I saw the other side of the festival. Mm-hmm.
Well, getting down to legend is a thing that must have never happened.
There were events.
I don't think I've been down there in years.
This Midi's Mirage weekend, so like everything going on at the pavilion was just like, oh, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
What are all this?
Yeah, like this happens all the time.
Yeah, it was just things that I didn't know. Like that whole Green Man Green over there is just, what is going on over there? I don't recognize it. There's like a stage there and shit.
Yeah, depending on the weekend.
And I was just like, I don't know where I am right now. But I spent time, you know, on Sunday morning outside Front Gate, you know, on the bridge, yelling at people, and it was like, this is awesome.
It's a really fun spot. Yeah, I always spend a good chunk of my morning out there because it's Taffy and Angus and Tim Wicks out there, and it's a fun group to play with.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. And just interacting with people and knowing that I didn't have to be anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could just kind of,
if you're having fun doing a bit, you can just kind of keep doing the
exactly.
bit. And it's a nice freedom to have.
And even with mine, because I do have a quote show. It doesn't matter, because if I don't feel like doing it, I don't have to, because I don't have 17 other people dependent on me.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, too, is with yours, it's like, crap, I got to start in 5 minutes, but I got a priv. I guess I just have a miserable half hour. Like, you go, well, my show starts 4 minutes later. And yeah. that's an awesome freedom to have. You know?
It really was. It was extremely liberating.
I get it.
Bathroom.
Potty humor.
But, like, there was, I had this, honestly, I had this moment while waiting for Feast, while, you know, because I was back in the area where the entertainers mm-hmm. wait and kind of find out whatever they're going to be going on and stuff like that. Yeah. And there was Oops sitting there. And he was sitting there, you know, just kind of...
Is he still down at Twin Tree? Is that still his stage?
I don't know.
With Tui? Yeah. I can't remember. I haven't, like, seen him on stage.
I actually
seen, like,
don't
Feast
know.
In years.
Yeah, I it looks like he fucked Feast. Up his wrist, so I don't know how much he was actually doing.
Oh, yeah, he did.
But he was back there, and he was just, you know, kind of drinking water and kind of hanging out and sitting there. And then he gets up, and he walks away. And then he comes back with a cinder block. And then he, like, sits down with the cinder block by his feet, and he pulls out a Sharpie. And he, like, starts to, like, with his fingers just kind of measuring, gauging, and then he puts a mark on the cinder block. And then he measures and looks at it a bunch of different times, and then he puts another mark on the cinder block. And he's putting an X on the cinder block so Laszlo knows where to hit it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was just one of those weird, like, watching a performer go through this ritual that they must have been through thousands of times before, and it's so rote at this point that, you know, he's got the whole thing down and he knows his pattern, and this is just what he does before every performance. And it was just kind of fun watching like just the ritual happen.
Watching someone check props or do a warm up sometimes is really fascinating, because it's like,
oh god, yeah,
because everybody often has doing a it almost way. Mindlessly yeah, because they're doing it so much, but they also know it's important to do it every time to get everything right.
Well,
but.
And I mean, now with these swords, I have to, you know, I basically have to do the same thing. Is once I get done with the show, I have to go and sterilize the blade, oil my blade, you know, make sure that everything is ready to go for the next show. And it's like, now I'm also have a ritual for that started. Mm-hmm. That how many years from now is just going to be something that I do.
Yeah,
you know, it's going to be so mindless. So I don't know, it was just kind of one of those weird moments just watching a performer do his thing.
There's something, like, I don't know, as if I were the type to be just pure audience, which I don't understand, like, I'll never know that, like,
yeah, neither
never
will
have
I
been. Mm-hmm. But for me as a performer, there's a certain magic to watching somebody else do their prep.
I love it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All the behind
Whereas,
the scenes shit's,
like,
fascinating.
I wonder, like, for an audience person, does that ruin something? Like, does it take a... Knowing that he marks an X for Laszlo, does that ruin the spontaneity?
I think it depends on the audience member, because I do think it does for some people.
Okay.
They want to think that it's just, like, we show up with these superpowers that let us blow fire, swallow a sword, or like, do some incredibly complicated dance that they assume you're just improvising, you know, or literally improvising. And that, you know, our job is to make that look effortless in general. You know, maybe sometimes add some gravity or weight to how hard we've worked to make it look effortless, but it should look effortless. And I think people assume, especially after you've been doing it a while, you just show up and do it. And now you're just, once you're good forever. And it's like, no, you know, because it is not like riding a bike. Like, it's like riding a bike
unless,
if you're going to be in the Tour de France, which you have to constantly retrain for. You know?
Your act is literally riding a bike.
In which case, maybe. But, you know, all you have to do, though, remove one wheel and suddenly...
Suddenly unicycle! Yeah.
And you have to continue getting good at it.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's the thing, is the constant, you know, 20 years later, still tweaking, still improving, still... finding out if this turn of phrase, if I say the or the, gets a better reaction, you know.
Yeah, well, really, watching people argue over a quarter inch of movement, you know, for a magic trick, and just being like, who would even be able to tell the difference? And to them, it's just like a huge mile wide.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
A quarter inch, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and it's, I love those, because it's like, I don't always even understand what the reasoning is, but I like to watch, because it's like,
oh, that's got to be important.
Look at the brain power being used on this. Like,
Somebody was telling me about a magician who was explaining that they'll reach their hand up in the air, you know, and then they'll move their hand towards their other hand, you know, which is holding the deck of cards.
Sure.
And he's like, the very important thing, though, is I can't move my hand straight to that other deck of cards. Because if I move my hand straight to that other deck of cards,
the eye leaps.
The eye goes, his hand is going over there, and it jumps over there. And he's like, I don't want them to look there yet. So what he has to do is sweep his arm into a curve. And then the eye has to follow the hand. And that's when the other thing is happening with with the cards. Yes. And the difference between going in a straight line and curving the sweep of the arm is, again, for,
well, does your trick work or does it not?
I mean, even if he said, which way looks better, and watch, I'm going to do something different, you might not have even noticed him do something different. Because all you saw is hand goes from point A to point B. But the difference in what he did is so hugely important on the psychology of the audience is staggering.
Well, and that's like, you know, we have some magical magicians.
Yes!
That would be actually...
Oh my god, I want a violinist to like suddenly,
and then all
like,
of a sudden, like, Dove pops out of the violin.
Well, I was going to say, like, suddenly their bow turns into a bouquet of flowers.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Like, right?
But no, we have some magicians out at Fest, different times, depending. Is Will still out there?
Will Bradshaw?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't
see him ever. Really? So maybe he's not out there this weekend. I don't know. Or maybe
he was out there.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I just didn't have to see him.
I heard somebody talk about a mime, and I'm like, I guess Will's
somewhere. Will Bradshaw was actually...
Well, maybe because of the rain he was doing that instead.
He actually got mad shout-outs from... who was I talking to? Somebody was just like... Because we were walking by, and there it was, pouring rain, and Will was in the middle of... He was tied up, you know, and it started to pour, so he was just like, well, I guess I'm finishing. Mm-hmm. So there he was in the pouring rain doing his escape trick.
Nice.
And it was just like...
Damn.
Yeah, no, that dude... Yeah.
Well played.
He's gotten real good over the years.
Well, I mean, he's been street performing in Vegas.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And he did some time in
New York,
too.
That's where he lives now.
Yeah. But that's one of the examples of him, Brother Paul, like all these folks... that will do some magic. And, you know, sometimes, like, based on the wine shows, I get a chance to watch Will perform at least once a weekend, sometimes two, three times a weekend. And, you know, I do what most people do, which is just sit there and watch the trick and then think about how he might have done it. But I get to watch it repeatedly. Usually other people get to watch it once a season. And I don't ask. I just sit and wait and try to think mechanically. And then eventually I sometimes go, I wonder if it's like this. And then I watch to see if my theory is borne out based on watching him. Does he repeat that movement? Or was that just because of the angle I was at? And it's just like watching someone do something that well is fascinating to me. And it's not that it's not like, oh, I want to like pick it apart and ruin the magic. Like, to me, the magic is the mechanics.
Right. Yeah.
But I think, like, getting back to your point, like, that's not always the case. Some people want to not know and don't care.
Right.
It's better to have the illusion. And I'm like, I appreciate the illusion more because of how hard it was to do.
Mm-hmm. See, and I think, you
know, because I know
that there
what
are times, depending on my mood, I fall into both camps. Like, I want to see a really well done movie that has, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And sometimes I just watch schlock.
Yep.
Just let me escape into something. Yes,
my brain
is or isn't great about it. Like,
My brain has to know.
I feel like I found a really great flick is when my brain stops caring.
Well, I'm not necessarily talking about movies, but I'm talking about in performance.
Sure, like, but I mean, same idea.
Whenever
really,
I see a magician,
if I get so invested, I'm just going,
or anything.
Wow. And that takes a lot now. But if I do, it's like, I go, oh, man. Like,
but that's the thing.
that's the coolest.
Even, yes. But part of the wow for me is knowing what they're doing and knowing how well they're doing it.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's what I like about, you know, the people we know and the places we perform is that you can go watch an amazing, you know, like carny stunts, 10-in-1 type things, you know, that people are doing, or a magician's thing or whatever it is, but we know enough people that you could sit and have, to varying degrees, a relatively educated conversation about how that might be working.
Yeah.
Even if you're not talking to the actual performer. Who may not want to talk about it, depending on the performer. Although they're usually pretty good about it. But
well, the thing
I have a tangenty side story, and then we can come back to this.
Sure.
But this is all reminding me of the first time I went to see an oral surgeon.
Mm.
I had some impacted wisdom teeth.
You don't want to know how he does it. You just want the magic.
Basically, fucking drug me up and keep me oblivious.
In that case, very true.
Yeah. No. So I go in and I'm sitting in the chair and he's starting to drug me up. And instead of having me, like, count backwards from 100 or something, he says, so tell me about, you know, like, a weird hobby that you have. I was like, well, I do fire manipulation. And he's like, you eat and breathe? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, you know, fuel's really bad for your teeth. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I mean, I hadn't thought about it, but yeah, that makes sense. And then he's like, have you ever been to the Keys, the Street Performers Convention in the Keys? And I'm like, no. And he starts telling me about this, and that was about the time I started to go under. I'm pretty sure my first oral surgeon was a clown.
Neat. That is people's most literal nightmare.
Creepy and reassuring. I feel like I've heard this story.
It's like that scene from Pee-wee's Big Adventure where all the clown doctors are working on his bike.
Yeah. Yes.
That's pretty great.
But that's the other great thing is they're among you.
Yeah.
But I mean, to kind of tie this back is that, he's not a fire performer that I knew of. Maybe he did some on the side. Maybe he dabbled in lighters. I don't know.
Maybe that's why he became a dentist. He had to get all that tooth work.
Yeah, there you go. But having been to the Street Performers Convention, wherever else he goes and hangs out, whatever, he knew those things.
Oh, yeah.
Because carnies share their trade stuff. They talk about not only how to perform, but how they perform.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Well, I mean, I'm passionate about what I do. I assume other people are passionate about what they do, and I like to talk about it.
Right.
And I know that sometimes I probably talk about it a little too much.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But,
all of us.
But,
yeah.
we all
have a podcast, for Christ's sake.
Exactly. But we like to talk about it, and we know that amongst other carnies is a safe place to talk about it.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you can get into ways and means much more safely. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And so that's definitely part of it, I think, is you get together after hours and you talk shop.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because, you know, even though your particular discipline may be different, you're still in, you know, the same boat. You know, you're still trying to extract the dollar bill from the...
Well, hearing somebody had a good day on a rain day or something and then being like, God damn, I couldn't pull a crowd. They're like, oh man, I got this new line I started using. Yeah. And it always makes people stop. And, like, I love those conversations.
Uh-oh. I was going to say, this is way too serious. I'm just going to pipe in with tequila.
Yay!
My wife is getting sassed.
I do have one more fest thing that I did this weekend that I haven't done in years, which is a stage fight.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. I finally have another stage fight on the grounds. I have a fight with previous guest Chris Marchand.
That's right. A delightful person.
So we didn't do it Saturday because... rain.
That was going to be my next question. Yeah. You probably only got to do one.
Yeah, so we did it Sunday, and it was a really good dress rehearsal for what we're going to do next weekend.
Sure.
It was again, one of those situations where it just wasn't the right spot at the right time, so we've made some adjustments. And we've talked to some other people to help kind of draw in and things like that. So.
Nice.
But yeah, I love working with Chris on fights. Like, he and I learn at a very similar level and in similar ways. And we've both been doing it for about as long. So to be able to work with him on stage combat is just fucking fantastic.
Nice.
It pleases me greatly. So I just needed to squeak that one in there.
That's fair. Yeah. I don't think I have anything else pressing from Fest this week.
Nothing pressing, but one anecdote that I have is during the last show that I did then over the weekend, the 3 o'clock on Sunday, while I was doing my ballet, we saw Carr. For those of you who don't know, Carr is the artistic director.
director.
He came over and he said something to my spotter and then, you know, walked away. And I didn't think much of it at that point in time because I was busy.
Sure.
But after the show, my spotter comes over and he goes, so Carr came over to talk to me. I was like, yeah, I saw him. So I'm talking, what did he want? And he said, well, he just came over to me and he said, how the hell does he do that? And I said, I don't know. He's hollow.
Yes.
That's why you have
to. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and it's shit well like done. That is going to turn
Who's
into
your
great
spotter?
Lines.
Taffy.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, it doesn't
Good
get
choice.
Better than that.
Yeah. Well done.
So I'm already rewriting the script, trying to give him more lines. Something to do.
Yeah.
My initial instinct and a lot of what I wrote right off the bat was to make him the butt of the jokes and the patsy. And the thing is in our real life, he's usually the butt of the jokes and the patsy. And I don't necessarily want to do that to him just out of habit.
Right.
So I'm trying to trying to make him more of a...
Well, and I kind of feel like, though, between your two characters, you're the idiot putting swords down your throat.
Exactly. Like... And so
but you're also educated on something he is not. So you guys have a good thing to kind of have friction over.
Exactly. Well, at the beginning, he was just a doofus making stupid jokes. And as I kind of started to go through it a little bit more, I'm like, I think I want to make him more of a, like... slightly sarcastic and just a little exasperated that I keep doing this because it's dumb.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I think there's a good instinct there, and it's also the thing that, like, you guys will find a rhythm that's going to... Eventually, the show will be taken out of your hands and it will become what it's meant to be because the show will tell you, you know. But it's just going to... It's going to take at least the first year to get under your belt.
Oh, yeah.
But, like I said, it's a narrative I look forward to watching evolve over the course of the year. Absolutely. Because, you know, with how hard I know you work on everything and how funny I know Taffy can be, like, having that... Just having you guys take your little... you know, action figures and smash them together every weekend a few times, you're going to come up with some fun stuff. So it'll be cool. That said, if you guys are heading out to the Renaissance Festival, swing by. See one of us doing one of our shows. See all of us. At some point, you could see each of us during the day. Mm-hmm. There's enough options.
We recommend
it. We didn't mention it, I don't think, but we're still doing vilification tennis,
too. If you do Vil, you'll probably see most of us.
I'm not doing
but if you do
Wise, that's why it's most.
But if you do Wise Fools Feast...
most important.
Technically accurate.
If you do Wise Fools...
You were almost there.
Wise Fools Feast in my show.
There's the trifecta. Then you're covered. Yep. And there's a couple options for each of those, so... come say hi if you're out there. I know a few people that usually make the trip out like once a year because they're close enough that they can do that, and they try to find us and say hi. I know some years people go, I was out there, I never met you. I don't know why I gave him kind of a dumb voice. It's not what I meant, but that's just my other guy voice. The fact that we now are scheduled somewhat means you should be able to find us more easily if you give a shit. There's also a ton of other cool shit to do that doesn't involve us.
Harder
so,
for me,
you know, go to that
because my schedule's a lot looser.
It's a little more fluid, but at the same time, like, there's, you know, people that aren't us take time to, like, eat and shop and do other things. So they have
I forgot.
I actually did that this weekend. For, like, the first time in a long time, I ate food. It was great.
I have this weird dichotomy where I suddenly have enough time to eat, but I can't eat.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous, but yeah.
Ha-ha.
Because, yeah, I've said before, like, one of my problems, I always get super exhausted at Fest because I get busy, I get all jacked up on performing adrenaline, and then I'm never hungry. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so I sometimes go from Friday night, or Friday afternoon even, until Sunday night without eating because there's just too much to do. And I was like, I gotta work on that this year, I gotta work on it. I think it helped that Saturday being a rain day, it's a little cooler because the heat also destroys appetites. So I was just like, all right, and then free hot dogs, and I was like, yeah, we're gonna do this right. We're gonna be healthy-ish. And so did that, and then, like, there's a new Chinese place over near Levine's, too, that...
oh, very cool.
Someone pointed out to me, and they do...
Is that the place that took over the kebab stand?
Yeah.
Yes,
I'm very unhappy about that.
The kebabs are good. That was the thing I used to get, too.
Yeah,
but
I'm pretty sad.
I went down there, and I've talked to people, and I tried to get something other people hadn't yet gotten. So they have, like, dumplings, which, as far as I can tell, are just pot stickers, but they call them dumplings.
Yeah.
But they're good.
Well, I mean, that's what you... call them in Chinese restaurants. Okay. Dumplings.
I mean, I've had dumplings that look different than that, though, so I was expecting something a little different.
And they had fried rice, and I had the pad thai, or noodles, or whatever you want
which
to call
I've
them.
Heard is okay, but not quite that those spicy.
Well, I always put sriracha on everything, so...
But no, they had a bunch of interesting stuff, and I was like, ooh, neat. Okay, that's food I like, and it's close enough to a place I can go sit in the shade that might convince me
it's
to actually
pricey,
like, remember
though.
To eat. Yeah, with food books, whatever. You know.
No, yeah, but I mean, with like meat pies or scotch eggs, you can get a little bit more stretch.
Oh, that's probably true. But the thing is,
a little thing of fried rice for $6 or a Dane special for $5.75.
Yeah, for sure.
Dane special's got...
Yeah, I would never get fried rice. That's not enough.
Right.
That's not a meal. That's a snack.
Yeah.
Or that's the thing you put your meal on top of.
But a Dane special, full fucking meal right
there.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get a meat pie this weekend, and considering how cold it was, and it wasn't that cold, but I mean, rainy and kind of chilly, that's normally my thing. It's like, ooh, time to get a meat pie, because that's just, like, perfect comfort food. So, all right, let's take a break, and we will probably not talk about Renaissance Festival after this, because...
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see.
Possibly.
We'll be right back.
If you guys like what you heard, come visit us on aonpodcast.com and leave a comment. Or you can send us an individual email at salsa, Matt, or Jenna at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback at aonpodcast.com.
I don't like it when he giggles.
No, nor do I. And we're back. I'm still Matt.
I'm Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
And we're gonna do some topic roulette.
Hey, that's the thing we haven't done in a while. Yeah. Topic roulette. So I went to a random word generator website and I clicked generate random words.
Like you do.
And this is probably gonna bring us back to fast.
Oh, god damn it. All right.
Is it Renaissance?
Because the word was heat stroke.
Oh my god.
That's funny.
So we could definitely do another one if you want.
Yeah, fuck it. I already told that story, so I'm not going to tell my story. What else is heat stroke?
The first time I remember getting heat stroke is when I was 9 doing a reenactment, and I was in Canada. Canada. Sorry, didn't mean to mispronounce it there.
Eh?
Eh. But I was, it was just on the other side of the border at, Old Fort William. And, I didn't, like, I got heat stroke. I started getting really confused, and then I puked. Mm-hmm. And someone tried to talk to me to see if I was all right. But, like, I didn't respond right away. Like, first they asked me, and then they asked me again, and then I was really confused. Because the first time they asked me was in English. And then when I didn't respond right away, they assumed I spoke French, and they asked me in French.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, I'm 9. I don't know what's going on here. I just don't feel good.
The couple times I've gotten sick from heat stuff, like, yeah, your brain's ability to be the best drugs you've ever had all by itself are terrifying and fascinating. Like, I was talking to Scully about this last night. We were recording Horse Show Hot Dog, and he's not had heat stroke, or at least that wasn't what got him onto the subject. I forget exactly how we got there, but he's talking about being so tired you get hallucinations. And he said there was a time he and Jess were driving somewhere, and they were just fucking exhausted. He's driving along, and all of a sudden he pulls over, and he goes, "Okay, nope, you're driving." And she's like, "What? What the fuck?" And he goes, "So I was driving, and I look out my window, and there's, I forget the guy's name, like John. Their friend John's head, 12 feet tall, floating outside the car."
Oh!
And he's like, "Well, what's John doing here?" You know? And he goes, "And then it felt like I blinked, and then I was holding a book up and reading, and I was going, I can't be reading right now. I'm driving." And then he blinked, and they were just going down the road. He's like, "Mm-mm."
Yeah.
Nope. And he's like, you know, and that was probably a split second of time, but that doesn't take a lot, you know?
Yep.
And it's just like, oh, ugh, fuck. Ugh.
Right.
I used to suffer from insomnia real bad, and I've had that exact type of incident where driving down the road where it's just like, well, shit, that's not supposed to be there, and oh shit, there's a car right in front of me.
Yep.
So I've had a couple close calls.
Yeah, no,
thankfully nothing bad has happened.
As a younger kid, I know I had some, like, coming home really late at night and being woken up by those little, like, things on the side of the road.
Yeah.
But it was the ones on the opposite side of the road.
Oh, shit.
So I'd gone all the way across and narrowly avoided just doing a header into a ditch, because that woke me up, and thankfully I lived in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So
encountering another vehicle
at 2 a.m. was unlikely, but not impossible. And just the ditch alone is, you know, 20 feet down. So it's just like, well, that kept me awake pretty well for the rest of the trip.
But the thing is I'm a perfect candidate for heat stroke, but I've never...
Yeah.
Like, I am... I think I've talked about this in the past. I'm chronically dehydrated. Like, I don't drink enough water.
Yeah.
I
which I'm sure was entirely my problem, too. I'm just a dumbass.
Well, I mean, I've talked before. I forget that I'm thirsty because I have ADD and you know... I downloaded an app recently because I was trying to lose weight, and it was like, this is how much water you should drink in a day. And I drank that much and went, holy shit, that's how much I drink in a week.
Yeah, just a nauseating amount of liquid.
Yeah, exactly. But literally, like, a 7-day period, not joking. Well, that is how much water I would drink in a week.
Yeah, all three of us, I think, are of a similar mindset where if there's shit that I need to get done, eating can wait. The bathroom can wait. Right. Drinking can wait. And, like, you get into a habit of doing that, and it gets easier to make that stretch of time. Right.
Yep.
Be very, very
so
long.
I'm just chronically dehydrated, which means I probably should be getting heat stroke a lot more.
I mean, I agree. You should get heat stroke.
Yeah, you deserve it.
Yes. I was asking for it.
Did you see the way he wasn't dressed?
Oh, boy. What you get for wearing a parka out there. Anyway.
Up in Canada.
Yes.
Can we start calling a parka a Canadian miniskirt? Is that okay?
Oh my god, yes.
Because that makes me super happy.
Except now I'm picturing like a basic chick like actually doing that. With like
just
the,
in a full muckluck.
Okay. Can we? This is a thing that drives me nuts. I don't know that I've mentioned it here yet, but I've asked a couple other women I know, and Jenna, you are one. Salsa, you know at least one. There's a fashion trend that's been baffling me lately, which appears to be that dresses for women are now just oversized men's shirts.
What?
Because working downtown, there are like many, like I would say over the course of a day, dozens of women wearing what is essentially what you think of as in a movie when a woman sleeps over at someone's house and she comes out wearing just a button down shirt that comes to about, you know, mid thigh, you know?
Sure.
But this is people that are working in my building.
Yeah.
I can't imagine they're literally just buying a really big men's shirt
and wearing it to work. Mean,
someone must have said, let's sell a really big men's shirt and call it a dress?
Actually has to do with more of the length.
Right, exactly.
You make a regular size shirt, but you lengthen it. You don't make it as wide.
Well, it's like the Duluth Trading Company wants to cover your butt crack. You know, like it's, but
so
it's just
walk of shame chic?
Yeah. Good. Yeah, it is that. No, I will... If I get a chance sometime, I'll try to like surreptitiously get a picture of like a group.
Yeah, because that's not creepy at all.
Well, if it's a group of just like all kinds of different people, it might not look that weird. But it is bizarre. I'll maybe can find one googling. But it's just like I was one day going, how the fuck did that woman get all the way downtown not wearing pants and just some dude's shirt? And then I was like, no, but she's wearing like heels and she's carrying like a attaché case and then like
I was about to say like I think some of it
and we see plenty of homeless folk but this is different.
it would depend on what you really accessorize it with. Like I could see wearing something like that, although personally I would wear leggings with that.
And yeah, sometimes there are but not always. It's
leggings
really
and,
weird.
Like boots.
And sometimes boots, but sometimes heels. Like it is, I think the whole point is to look like you just wore some guy's shirt.
That's interesting.
It is, and I was just,
like,
and again,
I haven't actually seen this.
I gotta find some proof of this. But like,
to be fair, that's really sexy.
It looks great. Like it's fine, but it's just it breaks my brain.
I think I've like actually seen the style in practice. Like the concept itself makes. I don't want to say makes sense because that.
I'm sure it's super comfy.
Girls.
You're basically wearing pajamas all day. It's like a nightshirt, almost.
Yes.
So
pajamas are super comfy.
They are incredibly comfy. You know, I'm sure most people... Well, and you know what? Fuck that. Women do get to wear pajamas to work because they get to wear leggings and a big shirt.
Oh, my God. You know? I do like, that every day.
Yeah. So it's like...
Does
it
say juicy across the butt?
Yeah, but my sweater's long
covers
enough
it.
To cover
yeah,
it up.
Yeah, because she's a classy broad.
Fuck yeah, I am.
But I don't know. This is just a thing that I've only... I feel like it's only come to my attention... Well, of course, you know, we're finally in, like, really warm summer months, but, like, in the last month or two, but, yeah, it's bizarre. It's just
also
a strange thing.
I don't know if you're picking up the undertone here, but you're supposed to get off Matt's lawn, too.
Also get off my lawn.
Should I turn down that rock and roll music?
Turn down for what?
The volume.
So that was pretty dope.
Yeah,
I got it.
No, because you're old.
Oh,
that was the point.
And then we all got sad.
Also, I'm getting old.
Oh my god!
Are we got aches and pains?
Oh Jesus!
I've got kids.
I'm actually doing pretty good, but I think I'm more active in general than you guys.
Friday night.
It'd be hard not to be more active than
that. Yeah, right,
also that. Friday night, we got the kids to bed, and then by the time we were ready to go to bed, we crawled in, sneaky-like, and we went to bed. Saturday night, when we were crawling into bed, Asher woke up.
Oh.
And it was like after quiet hours. And so we were like, well, this is...
I thought I recognized that baby's cry.
Yep, so... we can't just let him cry himself back to sleep. So we brought him into bed with us. And he went back to sleep real quick. But anybody with kids knows that beds take up half, their babies take up half the bed.
Oh, yeah.
They're awful, it's tornadoes impressive. With fists and feet. Yeah. Yeah.
So impressive.
So, yeah, I didn't get any fucking sleep. And I was so sore when that's I woke rough. Up. Because I was sleeping on my side on an air mattress. And yeah. It was uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm finally walking upright again today.
Yeah. My wife.
It took me a while to get over the weekend.
My wife iced her feet yesterday and was like, that's that sounds amazing.
Right?
That would never occur to me because it's my today's the first day I could actually walk upright without a weird limp because my my calves just stay in a knot for the first couple days after Fest, and then my back is all kinds of fucked up normally. And then when doing a show, I will do whatever seems appropriate for the show and regret it later.
Yeah.
And there was a scene where we do a Royal Crisis where the audience says, okay, this is so-and-so is the monarch. We need like an adjective. And it's like, oh, you're the Duke of spoonerisms or something. And like, okay. And there's a crisis. What's the crisis? Out of toilet paper. Okay. And then three other performers will come in. When the person comes in, they'll say, I heard there was a problem, you know, and then the initial monarch has to say, oh, thank God you're here, princess one-upmanship.
It's
and,
like superheroes.
You
know,
and yeah, exactly. And you pass it along. Yeah. And so I got declared the something-something of dance. And so at all times was tangoing and doing ballet and eventually doing like weird, like Beefcake was Sir Half Dead. So he kept talking and then falling over. And at some point I did like a half cartwheel over him and landed sitting on the edge of the stage so I could ponder in like the thinker pose. And I was like, I'm going to pay for that later.
Oh yeah.
And sure enough, but it's like with a heroic dose of naproxen and ibuprofen every 4 hours, I get through a work day. But
yeah. I was
it's finally leveling out. And it gets easier as the season goes.
The other thing I had not bargained for is staring straight up on sunny days for a lot.
That does sound awful.
Oh my God, I was rocking such a headache. Ugh. I was seriously just because for what, 4 or 5 times per show, I have to just stare straight up.
Blah.
Yeah. Nope. No, I mean, I dance pretty much all day. If I'm not dancing, I'm drumming. And I was amazed at how little I ached for, like, legs and stuff. But my right shoulder and my feet, I think. Mm. But again, my feet weren't nearly as bad as they've been in years past either, so.
I was actually
I was pleased with that.
The one that right away, even on Friday morning, by the time I got to the top of the Olympic staircase, my left...
Saturday morning?
Saturday, yeah, sorry. My left hip was already just unhappy.
I was having trouble with that staircase by Saturday. Yeah.
And I don't know, my left hip was just giving me problems all weekend. And it's by Sunday, it was feeling better.
I'm going to try doing like a good solid like 10 minutes of stretching each morning.
That's not a bad idea.
And just seeing like if I do a little extra limbering, like, because part of this is just, you know, constant bullshit problems for just being unhealthy and a little overweight and all that. But like, if I limber up a little bit, it can't hurt.
But the other part of it is walking around for 10 hours on a rock quarry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
although I got to say, goddamn, you know, I got the new Catskills this year. Mm-hmm. And my woolens were still perfectly dry by the end of the day Saturday.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, that felt so good. And like, you know, I don't seek out puddles in mud, but I don't really go out of my way to avoid them unless they're really huge. Mm-hmm. So it was like, yes, I love new ones. They're so great.
Because
like my old ones had huge holes in them and had for years. And it's just got used to it. Your feet will be cold and wet. That's just how life is. We live here now. Yeah. And it's like, oh no, this is how they're supposed to be. Fuck. Why didn't I do this long ago?
Right.
So, should we move from Topic Roulette straight into our outro?
Yeah, let's do that.
The outro?
Yeah, let's do this.
You guys. One more thing about the Renaissance Festival.
Fine. One more, and then that's it.
I was so tired Sunday morning.
How tired were you?
I was totally on the same.
I was like, I can't even get up. But do you know what I brought out with me?
Drugs?
True Stone.
Yay! Nice.
Right? Like,
why didn't I do that?
Because you're dumb.
I am dumb as fuck.
You are so dumb.
Also dumb.
God damn it.
So yeah, this is my new morning thing. Is that I'm just gonna have True Stone every morning at Fest because holy shit,
this is the greatest of ideas,
right?
You know, what if you don't work at Fest, but you would also like to have True Stone coffee?
Well, I mean, they don't have True Stone at Fest proper.
But I mean, you know, you don't need the motivation.
You just want the great, what if you want the deliciousness?
What if you want the tired Rennie experience, but want to experience it from the comfort of your own home?
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
Did you know that you can order True Stone online?
The hell you say?
What? It's true.
How does one do such a thing?
Well, you go to their website. Oh my God, I'm totally blanking on the URL, you guys.
Is it True Stone Coffee Roasters or something like that?
Jesus Christ, you guys. Come on, you guys.
It's been a weekend. I had a really long weekend.
I have it bookmarked. I just click the button.
Well, that's probably smart.
Okay.
Yes, I have it bookmarked. That's how much
that's
I
how important that's it true. Is. It is TrueStoneCoffee.com, guys.
Yay! Okay. I was like, is it True Stone Coffee?
I believe their Facebook is True Stone Coffee Roasters.
Okay. That makes
sense. Okay,
you should like their Facebook page.
Yeah, also do that.
By the way.
But even though I love their coffee a whole lot, and I think that I should throw as much money at them as possible, what if I'm on a budget?
Well, what if you're a dirty carny and you have to try to get tips from people by stuffing sharp things down your throat?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to make your dollar go as far as possible.
Exactly. Then what?
What indeed?
Did you guys know? If you go to the website and
what website was that again?
TrueStoneCoffee.com.
TrueStoneCoffee.com. There's a little area for a coupon code. You could use the coupon code APROPOS.
APROPOS.
Or apropos for those of you English-speaking people.
Right.
Right. I speak English good. Anyway, put in the coupon code APROPOS and save yourself 10% on your purchase.
And delivered straight to your door so that when you are too tired to go out and get coffee, you don't have to worry. You already have coffee at your house and someone even dropped it off.
See, I like to think of it not as getting 10% off of the price, but me able to buy 10% more.
That's a great way of looking at it.
Well,
I like
fantastic.
That.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's very zen.
Yeah.
So thank you again, True Stone, for supporting our podcast. And do us a favor and go support them in return. Hey, how about a Fast Five?
Fast Five!
Fast Five!
All right. So, this Fast Five comes to us from September 13th of 2012.
Ooh!
From a longtime listener, great friend of the podcast, Mud.
Yay, Mud!
Yay. This one is themed.
Oh, yay.
About Fest. Ha ha! Brought it back.
Oh, my God. God damn it. I thought I
chose that one specifically.
I hate you.
Question one. Opening canon or closing canon?
Closing. Oh, no. Which one do you hate more? I think opening.
Actually, no. I'm going to switch to opening. Which one do you pay more attention to? Opening.
Which one am I more relieved by? Closing. But I do look forward to the opening one.
I really do. I'm like, oh, here we go.
I love what I
bitches.
Do, but by the time you get to the end, it's like, oh, God, I can finally, like, breathe.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
No. You know? Well, like, opening is in the morning.
Yes.
That's often how those things work.
I hate morning.
I totally
And that's totally understandable.
Whereas, like, as much as I love performing at the Fest, at the end of the day, when that closing canon hits, it's like it's like this release.
Exactly. No, it's the most relieving feeling. Yeah.
It's kind of a full body orgasm.
You can watch people melt a little bit.
So, for me, I start my day with canon going off, and then I'm dancing.
Mm-hmm.
I end my day with dancing, and then canon going off.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, your day is a palindrome.
Right? Yeah. Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, there's a beauty to both, cause boom, now I get to dance, or boom, oh God, that was 10 hours in the everything and I don't have to dance anymore.
When closing canon hits, I get to know that I did a good job.
That's like, true.
My day is done and I have done everything I can.
But opening canon is a world of possibilities.
But it's in the morning.
Just waiting to happen.
I'm going opening cause I'm going to say that's the one I look forward to.
Okay.
I'm
sticking with opening.
Question two. Beer, cheese, or chili?
Beer cheese.
We're talking soup and Red Bull.
The soup and
I mean,
Red Bull.
The real answer is both.
Because
a drunk chili is the best.
Yeah, that doesn't.
But
beer cheese.
I think I gotta go chili, though, because I want something a little heartier.
I like the wild rice.
They have
rice.
New soups this year, it appears.
Do they?
Because there are options that... Because normally it's just beer, cheese, chili, wild rice.
Yeah.
But I walked by a booth and I was like, what the hell is that? I don't even remember what it was, but I think there might be new soups. So I gotta go check that out. Because if there are, then like, I gotta try those.
I thought there were four soups.
Maybe there used to be like a beef stew, I think.
There are only
There are only
four soups.
There are four soups. But yeah, I thought there was something new, but I might have been seeing something that was a sign for the booth next to it or something. Because there's some like new beers out there this year too. Huh. There's some kind of beer slush. Yeah,
you
pizza
can concoct pizza
like,
soup.
There's strange things happening. You know.
I want pizza soup.
Pizza soup.
Be like, it could be interesting. Tomato and pepperoni.
Yeah, and cheese. And
cheese. Yeah. Be all right. Ooh.
So anyway, I would say if I had to pick one or the other, the chili, because it's gonna be a little heartier.
Yeah,
but ideally I would combine the two, but that so doesn't work for the fast fire.
Oh my god! And then you get nachos and you can dip that shit.
That's a good idea. Yeah. There you go. Right. Question three: turkey leg or Scotch egg?
Scotch egg.
Unless the answer is which one is an abomination that doesn't deserve to live, then the answer has to be Scotch egg in either context.
Which one makes a better prop?
Turkey leg's a better prop.
Oh,
I would still rather have a Scotch egg in my hand, even if I'm going to be juggling it or something, because afterwards I could still eat it.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
I fucking hate turkey
legs.
Whereas
turkey leg is just
when I did more street, I used to just get a turkey leg and like bite out of it and just like have it dangle out of my mouth while I was sitting.
I would grab one of the garbage to have as a prop sometimes.
It was absolutely disgusting, hilarious.
But then you have the taste of a turkey leg in your mouth.
So, I'm going to go Scotch egg.
I'm trying to remain positive here, so I'm going to say Scotch egg.
Yeah. That's
awesome. Scotch egg.
Question four, cowbell or bagpipe? My guess is which one's more annoying?
Bagpipe.
I like bagpipes. I would say a cowbell
is
annoying.
I like a good bagpipe, but a bad bagpipe is like the worst.
Sure.
Whereas bad cowbell is just bad cowbell.
I prefer Illin pipes.
I mean,
you would.
At the expense of it being a bit of a joke, like a cowbell is kind of a one-note thing. Like, there's no way to make
that
really very dynamic.
One hit wonder.
Yeah. Fuck.
I hate you so much.
Anyway, question five: elephant or llama?
Llama.
I feel like I gotta go llama.
Llama.
Llamas are pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Unless it's the drama llama.
Oh my god.
Watch out! They spit the epithets.
That was surprisingly fun.
When the fuck did you get funny?
No, kind of pissing
that's
me off.
Weird.
I'm sorry. It's exhaustion.
All right.
Oh,
so.
Rest up, would you? Stop making me look bad.
So, question one.
Like, you need help.
Opening or closing canon? The context is, which canon do you most look forward to?
I think it's...
And I think I love closing canon because I get to relax and then get to hear some good stories, but the one that I'm kind of jazzed for and the adrenaline is for opening. Yep. So I think I'd stick with mine.
I still got to go with closing.
Because mornings, and I think that's understandable. Drink more True Stone.
But, no, honestly, like... I really do like my day is so full of awesomeness, but at the end of the day when it's done and I can go, I did a fucking good job today, and that closes and it's like everybody can go home and now I can take my break.
Yeah.
Like that moment is where I live for.
And Mud has his answers too, which is his is opening canon now that he's a patron again.
Yay.
Question two, which was chili or beer cheese, was which bread bowl do you prefer? We got that one.
Yeah.
So I think our answers all would stay the same. Beer he cheese. Says chili, though he likes to mix them because he knows what's up.
Yes.
Called it.
I like that guy.
Question three, which one? What was three?
I don't know.
Turkey leg or Scotch egg. Which one will you miss until the next year? Scotch egg.
Scotch egg
by far. Which he also says Scotch egg. Not a fan of the turkey legs, even though others love them.
Yeah.
Good man, Mud.
God, I like that guy.
Dear. What does Fest need more of? Is this the context for bagpipes or cowbell? I would say bagpipes. I feel like we used to hear bagpipes all the time.
There used
I don't
to
think
be a
I
lot
hear
more.
Bagpipes
I haven't.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Unless,
I haven't
except for like Scottish or Irish
weekend.
I mean,
Larry Fraser used to be out. And
he used to always be the one.
Been out for ages. And
but
I miss him.
We used to have a piper or two around, and
just,
now
like,
it's just they come in
piper.
With other groups. Yeah, it'd be neat because, like, especially way back in the day, like at Irish Cottage, sitting there in the morning getting dressed and having someone warming up a bagpipe on the front
well,
lawn.
They
the
used
best.
To have years ago.
Or standing up on the knoll, like
yep.
They
piper
they,
on the knoll.
They had
like,
the drum shop over near the BLT.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the piper's name, but she would go over there every day, and they would drum, and she would play the pipes.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's
and they would kind of duet like
that's
that.
Fun. I don't think I ever saw that.
Sad I missed that.
And then lastly, we have elephant or llama.
Llama.
Which animal would you like to take home as a pet?
Llama.
You can get wool off a llama.
Which is his answer, llama, so I can make my own yarn for crocheting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Plus, llama, just much less horrifyingly huge animal.
Plus,
elephant yarn,
llama.
Not as smooth.
Very coarse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very coarse and rare.
When I was a little kid,
yeah,
I
but
got
compared
to
pig,
the,
come on.
The
sure.
elephant in the parade.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, back when we could do that.
Mm-hmm.
When I got down off the elephant, which you can't get down off an elephant, you get down off a duck. But when I got off of the elephant, I was like, yay, I did it. And the elephant turned and just whacked me in the face with his tail. It hurt like a son of a bitch. I got a little cut on my cheek because the end of the tail is all like hairy whiplash.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd rather have a llama.
There was still that day that that elephant looked at Titterington's hat. That was seriously one of the most anal puckering moments of my life.
Wait, what happened?
Okay, so we were hanging out by Horse Gate, and it was the end of the day, so they were bringing the elephants out, you know. And first elephant goes through, second elephant goes through, third elephant goes through, and I'm sitting right next to Titterington. And we have our backs to the elephants.
Okay.
And whenever the elephants would go through, we would all get really quiet because you don't want to fucking scare those guys.
Right.
Yeah, no, totally.
And so the first elephant goes through, second elephant goes through, third elephant goes through, sees Dave's hat, stops, turns his whole body so he is square up. And I mean, he's over our shoulders. Like, here.
Okay.
And he's looking at Dave's hat. And I have never seen tits scareder in my entire life.
I would never.
Because he had an elephant squarely behind him looking at his hat.
I would never feel like it is more deserved.
Oh, no.
Was it a good hat? I mean.
But it was that one. We don't know what he's about to do, but he could do anything he wants.
Did something happen, or was there at that point
the trainer came through and was like, "Move along," and the elephant was like, "Okay," and lumbered away.
Just wanted to look at the hat,
but it was seriously like 5 minutes before he breathed again.
It's a very large animal to suddenly give you its full attention.
Yeah,
that's a terrifying thing. Mm-hmm. Your hair. Yeah, I know, right. I'm looking very eraser head. Or as I've been telling people, a slightly less racist Michael Richards.
God, that's distracting.
This is, people are always like, oh, I miss your long hair. I'm like, I don't.
Nope.
This is what it does.
This is awful.
Well, I have Anna Levine's hair.
When it was longer, though, it weighed itself down a bit more.
Well, when it was longer, just, like, I would.
Boingy, sticky up. It's like somebody took a bunch of screws and just stuck them to the top of your head.
Well, no, when it was longer, I had to do that every morning to make it do that. I would take a shower and then comb it all straight in the shower with conditioner. Now, otherwise, I couldn't get a comb through it.
Sure.
And then, you know, rinse the conditioner, pull it back into a ponytail immediately, and then put additional ponytails
in so that it dried back.
And I slept with ponytail. Like, I never took my hair out unless I was in the shower, and that kept it down into my head.
Okay.
For a while in high school, I had hair that was probably, you know, 10, 12 inches long, but I didn't do that. And it just becomes, it looks like Trey, it looks like Matt Stone. That's what my hair looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, that's not pretty.
No, it's a terrible, terrible look.
Yeah.
And so I've always had either the short mohawk or fully long hair because you just pull it back and tighten it. But yeah,
my hair. Yeah, I can't think of what you would do with an in-between.
No, there's nothing to do. You're fucked. You look stupid.
You look like
you have to put tons of product in it to like stick it down or just have the huge Jufro thing and just be like, this is my life now. I'm a dandelion. Mm-hmm.
You know? So when are you allowed to cut it?
I'm not going to go back to the mohawk. I'm going to have to do something else. Because I'm doing too many shows that don't need a mohawk.
Well, no, obviously
so,
not. The
I mean,
mohawk,
so my fringe show was over last weekend. So,
you could
do something different, but it's also having some flexibility to start with is good.
Right, but I mean,
so because I got to do
what I'm trying to say is please not this.
Here's the other problem, though. Here's the problem: a haircut that is some kind of in between haircut is not in my skill set to do, which means it costs money. That's the thing I don't have, and I resent paying. Maybe. But it's also just trying to get together with her for
a bottle of wine. I don't even know that you need to talk to her. Just, like,
show up at her doorstep with a bottle of wine.
That's true.
And she'll be like, but fucking A, let's do
it. That's literally what I did last time, is I showed up at her doorstep with a bottle of wine.
Which, again, is not for my hair. And I resent paying money to get my hair cut, because the other problem is, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, but you get to drink the wine, too.
That's true. But, like, the thing is, I don't honestly give a fuck what my hair looks like.
I will give you a bottle of wine if you go bring it to Trampy.
And I promise I will actually take it to Trampy's. So, yeah.
I will give Trampy a bottle of wine.
Yeah, I was talking to Megan and was like, yeah, I don't. She's like, what are you going to do for your hair? I'm like, I kind of just think nothing. I think I'm just going to kind of leave it until I have to do the next show and then say, what do you want this to look like? And then when they tell me, I'll go get that haircut. And she's like, oh, I'm like, I mean, is that a problem? She goes, remember when I met you, which was before Hardwired started?
So I had been growing my beard for months and doing nothing, and growing my hair out for months and doing nothing. You look like a fucking hobo, and somehow I still had sex with you. So you can kind of do whatever you want, but I mean,
Look, so it's not that I find you unattractive,
but you know, I was certainly handicapping whatever hope I had. As
but I have low standards, right? So
I think that's more of a reflection on her at that point.
Yeah,
but yeah, so I don't know. I gotta figure something out. But the problem is also I just don't give a shit, and I would just as soon just get a hat and wear a hat all the time, which I think is also an acceptable solution. So
then why aren't you wearing a hat right now?
Because I don't have a. I'm not wearing a kerchief. No.
I believe it's a do-rag.
A do-rag, rag, rag, a do-rag, rag. All right, let's get the fuck out of here. This isn't good. Oh, Jesus Christ, hey, listeners, if you have ideas for sweet haircuts for me, post them on the Facebook. Speaking of Facebook, we have our second space monkey. Pedantic Eric brought gin-soaked gummy worms out to the Renaissance Festival, and as an overachiever, also tequila-soaked gummy worms. Let me tell you, you've not regretted a snack until you had a tequila-soaked gummy worm. I still think I like the gin ones. They're pretty good.
I feel bad. I wasn't able to come out Friday night. We had a lot of prep to get done.
But it was they're interesting. So I'm just saying I'm enjoying benefiting from your losses. Yeah. So that said, dear listeners, thanks for listening. Hey, if we get to see you out at the Renaissance Festival, great.
Yes.
And we'll keep you posted of any interesting stories that you might miss if you're not out there. I think that's everything, right?
Yep.
Because I don't have anything to plug aside from Renaissance Festival right now, I think.
I guess the only thing left to say is eat ye old fucking cake.
Ye old fucking cake.
Cakey?
Cakey. Ye old fucking cakey. Ye cakey of old.
Ooh,
there I you like go. That one, actually. Yeah. Nice. We got there, guys. See, we workshopped. I mean, we got
there. Yeah, we did it.
All right.
It became greater than us.
It is now greater than the sum of its ingredients.
Started off greater than us, honestly.
Yeah, that's probably true. All right. Have a good week, everybody. Bye.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Talking and testing the microphone.
Microphone! Microphone!
Also testing this microphone.